For the past 2 months, contact tracers have been working to stop the spread of COVID-19 in Philadelphia. Contact tracers work for the city. They reach out to people who have COVID to try to figure out who they may have exposed. It's a critical role for understanding where and how fast the virus is spreading, and ultimately for saving lives. The job requires some boldness because contact tracers call people cold and ask a lot of questions. And some folks just aren't willing to talk to strangers, let alone share their personal business.
My name is Renee Mattia. I work as a contact tracer for the Philadelphia Department of Public Health, and I also do case investigations.
In the age of COVID, Raneem and thousands of contact tracers need to be good detectives, social workers, and telemarketers. Our future could depend on them. I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why. Raneem moved to Philadelphia from Egypt last year so she could be closer to her brother.
I absolutely love Philadelphia. It's one of the places, I always say I've moved around a lot, and this is the place that it's been the easiest to transition. I had my brother. I started socializing with other people. It was going really well. And then March of 2020 is when COVID hit.
What about work? Were you working during this time?
I was working at Philadelphia Parks and Rec, and starting March, we completely went online. We were working from home, and because of the nature of the work of Parks and Rec, there wasn't really things to work from home for. And then in June, I got laid off.
So you got laid off in June. How did you end up becoming a contact tracer?
So I had gotten my 2 weeks notice in the middle of May. And then around that time that I got my 2 weeks notice, my friend was like, hey, the Department of Public Health is looking to hire a bunch of contact tracers. You should apply for this. And so I applied. I think there was a huge hiring push at the time. I applied. I got an interview the next week, and then got an offer the next day. I started my new job June 15th.
Wow. So tell me what you do.
So I call people that have been in contact with someone that tested positive for COVID-19. I make sure that they're aware that they were in contact with someone who had COVID-19. Tell them that they need to quarantine for 14 days since they're in contact with that person. And then help them with any resources to help them quarantine properly. They have issues with how they're going to get food. I give them resources for that. I help them find their closest testing site if they need to or if they want to get tested for COVID-19. It's one part gathering information from them, but mostly just making sure that they are able to quarantine properly for the 14 days, as well as just sign them up for daily symptom checks so we can track what new symptoms they're getting, and also give them the option to contact us if they have any questions.
So did you have to be trained for this? I would imagine you did. How were you trained for it?
We were trained for 2 to 3 weeks. We had to do a Johns Hopkins contact tracing Coursera course. It started off with what is COVID-19 to what is contact tracing itself. Part of the training was also shadowing multiple people that were already making calls. And I think from there, we learned a lot of new techniques. So a lot of people, when they get the call, it's a strange number. So they're okay, who are you? Prove to me you're from the Department of Public Health. I send them an email. I'm okay, see, this is me, phila.gov. I'm here. I always say, I promise I'm never going to ask for your social security number or for any banking information, and I always then give them the option, you do not have to answer all the questions that I ask you.
I'd like to sort of role play what a contact tracing call is like. Can you take me through a call as if I'm on your list?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so the phone is ringing.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Hello, may I please speak to Annette?
Who's calling?
Hello, this is Rini Mattia calling from the Philadelphia Department of Public Health. I'm calling because we were notified that you were reported as a close contact of someone known to have COVID-19 and you may have been exposed. It's a confidential health matter, so I can't tell you who it was, but I can tell you that this person named you as a contact during their infectious period.
So are you saying I have it?
No. I'm not saying you have it. I'm saying that you came in contact with someone, so you may have been exposed.
What am I supposed to do?
I'm going to just like review your exposure, try to find out how you may have been exposed, as well as just give you some ways that you can quarantine at home.
I can't do that. I have to work.
You have the right to quarantine for 14 days and also get paid sick leave. So we can talk about it during this interview as well, if you just can answer a few questions.
Okay, let's talk about it then.
Okay, great.
See how nice I got?
This was me. Okay.
In doing this exercise, I can actually see how people get less resistant because you understand that the person on the other line is trying to help you.
Yes.
When we come back,
those calls that I call like every day are the ones that like after the 14 days, you know, like the last day, you're like, we did it.
This is The Why.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
I'm Annette John Hall. I'm talking to Rani Mattia about her job as a contact tracer. So you said that you did case investigating and contact tracing. What's the difference between the two?
Case investigating is when we call people who actually tested positive for COVID-19. That call is different because either they know their test results or they don't. So sometimes I'm the one that has to break the news to them that they tested positive for COVID-19.
What's that like?
There are people whose initial reaction is very shocked. Like, I can't continue this interview right now. Like, please call me back later. And so I think these kind of investigations require a lot of like empathy, a lot of understanding. It is a form of trauma.
Sure. And so you have to get contacts from them as well, right?
So other than you have to tell them to isolate and help them with any resources for isolation, you also try to find out like where they've been in the 2 weeks prior to see like maybe where they could have contracted it. We ask if they've been to like any parties at the beach, like any casino, like, you know, just like at like any religious service. And from there, we then try to find out, okay, like, did you go to work? Did you go, like, who did you see? And then get the contacts from that. And then the contacts that we get from there then go to our contact tracing team.
And I do want to go to, because you kind of wear two hats, Raneem. So how do you divide your day? Do you do the case investigations first and then go to the contact tracing part? Tell me about that.
In the mornings, I try to call or get through like my queue of cases, try to call, leave any voicemails, conduct any case investigations. And in the afternoon when I have more time, I then will check in with my contact tracing team. And I was like, okay, do you have any contacts that I can call or contact through or just contact? So it goes case investigation first and then contact tracing.
I mean, this is a shock for somebody, I can imagine, who would get a call from you saying that, you know, you may have been in contact with somebody with COVID. You have to quarantine for 14 days. What kind of response do you get to that?
There are people who are like, well, I feel fine. I don't think I have COVID. I'll try to explain to them that it can take up to 2 weeks for people to feel symptoms, or they can be asymptomatic. And then there are people who are like, I cannot afford to stay at home for 14 days. I can't quarantine because I'm taking care of my child or I'm taking care of like an elderly family member. And so that's when it starts getting really messy because you're like, okay, like I understand, but do you know that we have paid hotel rooms that we can like help you like quarantine properly? And then I give them like their rights as like an employee where your employer needs to be able to give you the sick leave for the 14 days. And I think part of being a contact tracer is kind of going through every single like obstacle and just trying to help with every obstacle.
You know, how successful are you in, you know, those conversations with people who you suggest should quarantine?
I'm talking just from my own context that I have. I feel like about 2/3 to 3/4 of people like agree to quarantine. And also, I also have several contacts that I call them every day. And those calls that I call like every day are the ones that like after the 14 days, you know, like the last day, you're like, we did it.
So I can imagine if you, you know, stayed in contact with a family for 14 days, that you would have developed a little relationship with them. I can tell by just how you sound that it is fulfilling to go through the process with somebody for the 14 days. So tell me about, you know, a person or a family you went through that with.
So I am an Arabic speaker. So I get a lot of Arabic cases and contacts. So this family that I had was like a big Arabic speaking family. I called them for 14 days. They never missed a call. I like would go down like the names of the children and make sure that like none of them are experiencing any symptoms. And then by like the third day, it started being like, we're just having dinner, come over and eat. Because you're talking to someone every single day, you know, even if it's just like a short interaction, it's still a bond.
You do bring up a good point, Raneem, about non-English speakers. And we do have a lot of those residents in Philadelphia. How do you communicate with those people?
In my team alone, we have like more than 10 languages spoken. We also have like a full like Spanish speaking wing. So if we have like a lot of case investigators and contact tracers that speak Spanish. So whenever I have that, I just like direct those cases to them.
So Raneem, how does it make you feel personally to know that you're doing something to fight this pandemic? How's that make you feel?
I think contact tracing, it's been like a gift, I think, because I know that I'm helping like contain this virus, as well as doing something that I like enjoy and I value and I have like a skill set in.
When this is over, what are you going to take away from this experience, Raneem? How has it changed you in any way?
It's just been interesting to really talk to the people of Philadelphia, like really talk to them, you know, because you're talking to them about their family situation, you're talking to them about where they went, you're talking to them about like the obstacles that they may be having during this time. It's definitely, I think, a time for everyone to kind of realize like what resources we have access to and what resources we don't, and what people really need during this time, and honestly during all the time, pre-pandemic or post-pandemic, people just knowing their employee rights and the employer has to give them their sick leave. I think some people need help with resources for food and they don't know a lot about the options that the city has. We have this huge document, this like huge resources document. So there are resources out there. It's just connecting the people to the resources.
Well, Raneem, thank you so much for talking to us about the work that you do, important work, and we appreciate it.
I appreciate you taking your time to talk to me.
That was Philadelphia contact tracer, Raneem Atiya. The Why is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Ben-Yaakov, Alex Stern, Kelsey Hansen, and Sabrina Boyd-Circa, under the editorial direction of Katie Colinari. We had editing help for today's episode from Eugene Son. Hit me up on Twitter @AnnetteJH. Stay well. We'll talk tomorrow.